Good morning, everybody. Bradley, are you guys ready in Johannesburg? Okay. Welcome to our half-year presentation. You would have all seen the results already issued on RNS and SENS this morning. And clearly we gave you a trading update in September and more clarity about 2 weeks ago on where the results were going to be. So I don't believe they are a surprise to anybody. If we look at the operating environment, we have been in the last 6 months, stock markets were fairly volatile, as you can see from the slide. All three geographies that we operate in had markets jumping all over the show. And that would have been good for some of our activities and bad for some of them. But overall, I think we came up pretty well. We also in a rising interest rate environment, again in all three geographies. And although nothing dramatic, it does say that economies could be a bit tighter in the future. But at the moment, as you've seen from these results, there's nothing on the credit book that could have any impact, and life is still pretty benign, notwithstanding the fact that interest rates have been rising. And then we've also, all currencies against sterling have been pretty weak, and the rand clearly has been particularly weak during the latter part of the trading period, but as has some of the other currencies also weakened against sterling. So sterling has been the strongest currency in our trading environment. So taking all that into consideration, I think we've had a pretty good trading period, up 34% in operating profit. Our attributable earnings up 37.8%, and what we call adjusted EPS, which is well known to you now before goodwill amortization, and we adjust for accrual on preference shares, which the accounting regime says you can't accrue, up 37%. Dividend in sterling, we always declare our dividend in sterling, up 31%, and I'm not sure what the rand number is, but it's significantly higher, reflecting obviously the strong performing period. Now, looking at our EPS history, our target growth rate is retail price index plus 10%. Clearly we were well in excess of this target during this trading period and have been for the last few years. I think what's important in these results is the mix between South Africa and the UK and Australia, and they're roughly 50-50, 49.3% of our bottom line attributable profits were from the UK and Australia, including when we talk UK, we include Dublin, in case Michael Cullen, who runs our Dublin office, gets upset. I promised I would mention Dublin next time we talk. And South Africa roughly 50.7%. So pretty balanced in terms of the overall portfolio, and that is clearly as a consequence of the development of scale and increased critical mass and market penetration in the non-South African businesses. ROE 23.8%, slightly down off the year end, but we recognize that we always make a bit more money in the second half than the first half. And this is up off the back of last year, which was in the 22% area, but still well above our target. What is gratifying about these results is our UK and Europe has gone up above 20 for the first time in our history since we've been here, which is since 1992. And Australia off the back of clearly a significant increase in its capital to support the Rothschild acquisition is at 17.3%. And then South Africa just below 30% for this particular period after tax. So again, quite satisfied that we are starting to well exceed our cost of equity in all our key markets. Cost to income ratio, 60% down from about 61.8% for the same trading period last year, up marginally from the full year last year, but again well below our target. UK and Europe at 65.5%, and that's coming from well into the 80s if we go back 3 years. South Africa at 55% and Australia at 57.7%. So again, although you've seen cost growth, we believe it is well contained. And a significant portion of the cost growth is new people in the front of the business looking to generate activity, as well as variable remuneration, which is linked to overall operating profit. So operating profit per employee is up from £36 million for the half year to £42 million, again driven off the strong growth in the UK and Australia. South Africa, pretty flat, down slightly, but that would have been impacted by the rand. Capital, still have enough capital for our sustainable growth. In South Africa, down quite a bit because of the strong asset growth in the private bank. If I look at Investec Limited, down to 14.7% with that Tier 1 ratio at 10.3%, which is round about our target. Clearly, with our ROE on tangible above probably 40, you're able to sustain the capital creation in South Africa as long as you're growing at around 20-odd, 25%. In the UK, strong capital position, and that's, we did issue what we call perpetual preference shares in the UK market. We issued them in South Africa for the UK PLC balance sheet in this particular period, about £80 million, which has helped boost that position. So you can see that our ratio at Investec PLC, 17.1% with our Tier 1 ratio, 13.1%, which we needed to be there because we obviously believe we still have strong growth prospects, and we need the capital to enable us to grow and take advantage of opportunities. Operationally, I'm not going to harp on this particular graph other than to give you a snapshot, but that just demonstrates where the operational performance comes from. I'll deal with each division separately so that you have a perspective of what's driving and what's not driving, although we are active right across all businesses. So if you look here, you'll see that obviously we had a very strong performance from Treasury, but I will explain that to you in a moment, as well as the private bank and the asset management business. So private bank, our operating profit is up 76% to £73 million. That's driven off the back of strong average loan growth, 29%, retail deposit growth, 37%. These are all average numbers for the period versus the average of the previous year, because that tells you what comes through the income statement, and funds under advice up 49%. If you look at actuals at September, the loan book is slightly down in sterling. That's because of the sharp decline of the rand at the end of the year, and in neutral currency for the 6 months, the loan book was up 16%, which annualized is about 32%. So still strong underlying fundamentals, which hopefully will help support growth in the future. The cost-to-income ratio at 54% is getting more or less into line with where we want it to be, and very strong pre-tax ROE of 37.9%, with profits per employee £43 million. The private bank employs a lot of people. It employs, I think, about 1,600 people around the world, and we've added significantly to that headcount because you need legs on the ground to get market penetration. So it did perform strongly in all three geographies. All our areas of specialization performed well across the spectrum, and clearly we are benefiting from the growth strategy initiated a number of years ago. Our outlook is positive in all three geographies, as we do continue to have strong pipelines, and we still have very small market share in the UK, Australia, and in Ireland, where we have quite a nice boutique setup. Moving on to our private client portfolio management business, operating profit is up 26%. What's inside this box is our 47% share of Rensburg Shepherd. You saw they announced their results yesterday, and they're achieving all their objectives that they set out when they merged. Our funds under management average were up 45% for the equivalent trading period last year. Actual are down in sterling and marginally up in neutral currency. And that's really a consequence of market indices not going up too much during the period, and the weakness of the rand. But we're quite satisfied that we have a very strong platform in both South Africa and within Rensburg Shepherd, and this business does create a lot of value for our organization. Our cost-to-income ratio is about 59%, which is highly satisfactory. ROE, just under 40, and profit per employee, because again, it has lots of people, £32 million. From an outlook perspective, we still have reasonably positive market fundamentals. The private client is back in the market, which we've seen in the last year or two, from retiring from the market for a long time. They're fairly active, and we think that that enables us to continue to leverage off the increased scale and positive market fundamentals. Percentage of earnings to the total group is about 4.5%. This is perhaps treasury and specialised finance is an area where we have made the most progress over the last couple of years. We did set up a number of initiatives, certainly in the UK, and this is really started to pay dividends. You see the strong performance up 99%. The London operation was up in excess of threefold from the previous year. And that is off the back of some of the new initiatives that we started out in the last two or three years. The average loan book is up 31%, 32%. Actual loan book up marginally in sterling, in neutral currency up 16%. And you look at the neutral currency once you really get an impact on what the effect is on earnings, because your costs are in home currencies. So again, cost to income ratio at 52%, again more or less where you'd want it to be. ROE at 40%, which it's up from, you know, the late 20s, and our profit per employee £98,000, again reflecting the strong growth. We see activity levels quite strong in the South African side. Australia, we've really added value through the acquisition of Rothschilds in the resource and project finance space, which is an area that we were perhaps underweight and struggling before. And so right across the spectrum, this business has taken very, very good shape. On the outlook, the deal pipeline and general momentum are still very positive. Market conditions do remain favourable. There's lots of activity in all the geographies in which we operate. And that's off the back of benign conditions and that the world wants to do business. We will continue to focus on leveraging of our platforms and building our origination and distribution capability. We have recently seen a very strong increase in credit demand in South Africa, experienced by infrastructure spend, which is starting to happen, and large-scale private equity transactions following what you've seen in Europe, the US and the UK over the last while is starting to happen in South Africa, and that's going to create, in our opinion, a significant demand for credit on the corporate front, which again will support some of the activities of this business. The investment bank is a tailor to two cities. Very strong performance from agency and advisory, up 47%. Direct investments in private equity down. Last year we had quite a big realization in our UK operations, which was not repeated in this particular period. On the South African side, the earnings were up off the back of last year, but overall down. That doesn't mean to say we've run out of road. One of the fellows asked me, are you struggling to find private equity deals? That is not true. We have a good pipeline. We have a good stock of assets, and you know, you just don't realize them or crystallize the value every half year. So we're confident that we have a good pipeline. We're confident that this business will continue to deliver. It had a very strong year last year, which you have to bear in mind, but it doesn't happen every 6 months. So our cost to income ratio in that business is 53.8%. Our ROE 70%. Last year it was well above 100, and you can still see the profit per employee of £117,000. So this is a very, very strong and valuable business, but doesn't happen every time we report. So outlook, we're very busy across all our areas of activity as we continue to build our client base. We have increased our investments in our direct portfolios and our private equity portfolios in the last while. We're launching a new fund in Australia, which is three or four times oversubscribed, but they only want to cut it at $160 million because you don't, you know, we always believed in quality, not quantity. And that's really our game here. We believe in quality, not quantity, and that's the attitude we'll continue to make, adopt. Asset management, again, very strong performance, up 46%. Average funds under management during the period up 16%. One of the beauties for this business is the change in mix from institutional to retail. We have done particularly well in the UK and the global economy in building our retail platforms. Our UK institutional is gaining traction. We are winning mandates on the African continent. We just won part of the mandate of the Central Bank of Nigeria. So that is gaining momentum. We're doing very well on the retail front in South Africa. The institutional side, there's been this continual restructuring from balance to specialist, which we've benefited from, but as a consequence have lost some money on the balance side and gained some money on the specialist side. So if you look at the overall story, up 46%, cost to income 64%, which is normal for this type of business. ROE 42%. So we've started to get a return on the investment we made in the UK some years back, and we've seen a strong contribution, and we believe that we will get an ongoing strong contribution. Profit per employee is £38,000, but that does include all the outsourcing back office that we really own in South Africa, which in the UK we manage to outsource. And we do outsourcing for a whole host of entities in South Africa, so that doesn't really reflect the number truly. So outlook, momentum across all the businesses remain, all the activities remain positive. We have a very solid long-term track record, as well as a very strong medium-term track record, and that growing demand for specialist high-performance products do support our business fundamentals. Property, our activities remain very buoyant, however, that's not reflected in the operating results. The reason for that would be that we have no realizations during this particular period of any significance. We carry our property assets at lower of cost or net realizable value, and you only make the gain when you actually get the cash. So that would have impacted on the business during this period. Funds under management average were up 14%, actual down mainly because some of the large funds that we manage, we clearly the funds under management are at market value, and the property shares got a hiding in the first half of this year in South Africa, so when interest rates started going up and the rand started going south, but that has come back pretty strongly since the year end, and the fundamentals have tracked back into place. So we would expect a much stronger performance in the second half of the year. Cost to income ratio at 60% is reasonable. The ROE is still at 64%, again supporting the fundamentals of this business. Profit per employee, £24,000. So we see that the fundamentals remain positive. Clearly, interest rates have ticked up, which changed the fundamentals marginally, although the long rates haven't ticked up that much. And that we have a good pipeline of development and trading opportunities. We are really receiving strong inflows on the listed and listed fund management business in South Africa, we receive very strong inflows post the year end, and our European initiatives are starting to take shape. Still not ready to fly, but it's something that we've been working on for some time and starting to take shape. Other odds and ends that you always worry about. Assurance, we still have to report, but it's really become a non-entity. Last year we had £1.5 million, now £700,000, and that's just a few bit of earnings coming from the rump of what we own, but that's almost out of our system. Trade finance did quite well, up 17% to £2.2 million. Central funding, we warned you at the September briefing that we would be down here. Certain of our equities in our shareholders' portfolios went down. They came back a bit by the year end, and so these numbers were a bit better than you would have actually expected, down from £19.2 million to £16 million. There is an equal and opposite effect on the hedge of preference shares of £3.7 million, which would have hit that number, which I'll show you just now. So we were actually performed a lot better here than we anticipated. Central costs up £6 million, or 5.4, mainly an increase in variable remuneration for the non-operating areas, so which would have come through in these numbers. So everything is there, everything is understood, and there's no real issues for us that we have to explain. On the asset quality front, even though interest rates have gone up, we're not seeing that crystallize in our loan portfolios. Our non-performing loans as a percentage of loans and advances is still pretty low at 0.75%, and it has remained as such since March. So no real problems, even though one would expect with rising interest rates, a weaker credit cycle. We're not seeing evidence of that yet on our clients. Our tax rate's up 26.9% to 28.3%. Part of that is we have to consolidate some of our private equity assets, and some of them have higher tax rates than our group has. But nevertheless, we did say about 27.5% for the group, which it would be in that order if we ignored those assets that we have to consolidate. Attributable to earnings attributable to minority shareholders, 2.3. That's partly certain profits in relation to investments held in private equity that get eliminated. We've made a gain on a sale of a portfolio of investments, which minorities held 23%. That we have to eliminate. And then we get the money back from the hedge, because accounting-wise, they don't set the two off. It makes a mockery of the reality, so we have to explain the £3.7 million to you. But you asked the accountants that question. So if we look at outlook, I think our business is well balanced. What we generate from advice and third-party assets, £266 million, and what we generated from taking risk was £266 million. Of that, net interest income makes up 30% of the total. It's up 41%, which augurs well for the future. Principal transactions up only 11%, which is 20% of the total. And that would always be a volatile number. Net fees and commissions from all sources, all over the bank, up 32%, 47% of the total. Other is not really much to talk about. It's really recognizing income in some of those consolidated assets that I spoke about earlier. So we're happy the business model is very intact and very much in balance. And depending on market conditions, the barbell will move to the left or to the right. But right now, in a very satisfactory equilibrium position. The portfolio across all our businesses, you can see this is our history from 2000. Investment banking used to make 40% of our profits. In last year, it was 28. In this trading period, it was only about 18%. That will always be volatile, as you can see from the wave. What has continued to grow clearly is the private client activity, with asset management remaining consistent, and we've had a strong comeback from Treasury and Specialised Finance because of the initiatives that we've undertaken over the last few years. We picked this up the other day, jaws ratio. Basically, you can see it looks like a crocodile with its mouth open, because we've managed to grow our revenue at only 12.2% over, and we have sold businesses off, so the actual underlying organic growth is higher. And we've managed to maintain our costs at 9.5%. And because our revenue is growing faster than our costs over the last 6.5 years, you actually see how the substance and the sustainability of the business sustains itself, and how we improve that cost-to-income ratio. And this is evidence of that, and how we generated the underlying growth. So that is hard drive on the revenue front. Maintain costs. If I took out variable remuneration here, the cost growth would be a hell of a lot lower, and that comes through very strongly on the bottom line. So overall, and we believe that we are still, as we stand here right now, very high levels of activity across our businesses. We have increased our scale and our market penetration across all geographies, and we believe that will continue to support the operating results of our business. So we do anticipate a strong performance from all our businesses expressed in local currencies. We don't know where the currencies will go. And that's the story. We now have questions. We'll start questions in London. Jeff, you're always first. I think we've planted you here, Jeff.
Couple of questions on principal transactions, but rather than in the investment banking side, in treasury specialised finance and in private banking, both of them have shown very big increases in principal transactions. I wonder if you could say a little bit about where it's coming from within private banking. And also on treasury specialised finance, it seems that most of it's coming through securitisations. And is that a one-off because of the start of the securitisation business, or is that likely to be a similar level going forward?
Okay, let's start off with private bank. Private bank have a unit inside called growth and acquisition. Growth and acquisition will end up getting equity stakes, and that would be reflected in principal transactions. So, and that, you know, we started that business a couple of years back. We have it in all three geographies, and we would expect that number to continue to be there. It's still, I think, at relatively low levels. But clearly, you know, it will also be impacted by trading conditions. The principal transactions in treasury and structured finance, some of that is regarded as principal, it's really fees, but a lot of it comes from securitization and the initiations we commenced, I think it was just over a year ago, about 15 months ago. So we don't see that as one-off, we see that as ongoing and part of that business model. And I think we mentioned quite strongly, we were quite optimistic on the outlook for that activity, and we're starting to see that come through pretty strongly, and I think we've just started. So clearly it relies on debt markets being what they are, but and it will go through its phases of volatility, but really it is a new initiative, and that's all new revenue that we never had before.
So the numbers for securitisations really show the sort of underlying run rate rather than a sort of one-off low-hanging fruit from the existing portfolio.
It's nothing to do with low-hanging fruit. Nothing. Okay. It's got to do with a continual business that's continually originating portfolios, package them and selling them off, which we never had before. And that's not, and we do that, and we also in South Africa do securitizations for third parties, which is also a relatively new business. And that whole market is starting to develop as well, which you're not seeing a thing in these numbers yet.
Okay, thanks.
More questions in London? Nothing. Okay. Okay, we're going to South Africa. We've got Johannesburg and Cape Town. Just Johannesburg. Bradley? Is he not with us, Bradley? Huh? No, he's not here. That's Alan you've seen, not Bradley. They just look the same. They happen to be twins. And they used to be fooling some of you like they used to fool us.
Stephen?
Yeah, Bradley.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. We can hear you, Bradley.
Unfortunately, there's a delay of about 6 or 7 seconds on the line, so we're going to possibly talk over each other. Have we got any questions here? No. Thank you, Stephen. There are no questions from Johannesburg.
Is anyone there? They're all at the rugby. And then, can we move on to the teleconference?
We have one question in the teleconference. This question comes from Wilhelm Nata of BJM. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, Stephen.
Hello.
Stephen, you mentioned that there are two private equity investments that you consolidated, but these two investments contributed together to a loss of about 1.6 million. Pounds. Is it possible to flesh that out a bit more and perhaps give us names of those two private equity investments? Why did they make a loss?
The loss came from really, one was Global Ethanol, which we were looking to list in July of this year, and we spent a lot of money on the listing, and then the listing didn't happen when ethanol equities sort of like prices went down. So, but there's strong operating revenue in that, but clearly we had to absorb the cost of the listing. That's where the loss came from.
Thank you.
You okay now, Willem?
Yes, thanks. I'll ask questions later. Thanks.
Okay, but no, Michael's not there, Ross is not there. I mean, is no one going to ask any questions? I see Richard's here in London with us. Boring, eh? Nothing, Bradley.
We have one further question from the teleconference. This comes from David Lewis of Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Hi, I just have a question relating to credit ratings, actually, particularly for the PLC in the UK. Obviously, a very impressive turnaround there in earnings. Just wondering if you had any comments on what you thought Moody's might be thinking on the rating, and whether you think that there's pressure there for them to move it higher over the next year. Thanks.
Well, we'd hope that they give us credit for the increase in scale and reliability on the revenue flow. So I think that we can't predict what they'll do. But we would share your sentiments.
Okay. Do you know when your annual review is coming up with them?
We will be finishing off with them, I think, in the next 2 months.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Next question comes from Neil Welsh of Fawcett Kelton. Please go ahead.
Hi, Stephen. I hope you can hear me fine. The question is on capital. I noticed that this year you've chosen to raise some subordinated capital. You clearly still got some very strong capital adequacy ratios. In the Treasury and Specialised Finance area, which is growing strongly, is the capital burn in terms of your growth slower than in other areas of your business? Can you give me an idea as to how the capital that has also been used in the UK and South Africa in terms of the rate which it gets used, just a general idea of how fast you can grow in both areas?
Okay, let's have a bash. You're asking about the two areas of our group that use a lot of capital.
Mm-hmm.
Would be the Treasury and Specialised Finance area, because they have on-balance sheet assets, and the private bank. They are the two that use most of the group's capital. Clearly other areas use capital for operating risk, and there's some capital used for our private equity portfolios, etc. But relative to specialized treasury and specialized finance and the private bank, they use very little capital. So there would have been a strong utilization of capital, certainly in the UK, in the last year, and therefore we did issue perpetual preference shares. They're not really subordinated, they're actually equity. They're non-redeemable, non-convertible perpetual preference shares. They never get repaid, they just pay a rate above base, and they exist in perpetuity, and therefore classified as normal tier one. They're not innovative either. So I'm not quite sure what the rest of your question is, but clearly our capital plans ensure that we have enough capital for the good next few years based on our organic growth rates, and therefore we believe that we're comfortable on capital. We will have the ability to issue upper tier two and some lower tier two in the event that we need capital somewhere in the not too distant future. You can see our tier one ratio in the PLC silo is 13 point something.
Yeah, thank you, Stephen. The one I'm really trying to get at here is to understand in terms of the growth of the business when capital is going to be required. And obviously I'm trying to model that. And what I'm trying to get behind is the capital adequacy ratios, particularly in the Westech PLC, look very strong.
Growth rate in Investec PLC.
So
we also have to pay dividends, and we've got a return on equity of now just on 20 in Investec PLC. Return on tangible will be quite a lot higher. I haven't got the exact number in my head. So when you pay, you can sustain a growth rate of probably 13 to 15% in risk-weighted assets per annum without having to raise capital. And then we certainly have enough tier one to ensure that the balance of the capital, if we grow above 13 to 15, well, we won't need for a good couple of years, but when we do, we can make use of upper tier 2 or alternatively lower tier 2 as opposed to ordinary equity.
Okay, that's good. Thank you very much.
Okay. They're all waking up.
Thank you. Mr. Kossoff, given the outstanding performance in the investment banking division last year, any comparison in the current period has got to be tempered somewhat.
Sure.
You do state that you do give the reason for the weaker performance, but you also state in the outlook that the pipeline looks positive.
Yeah.
Now, does this therefore suggest that within the remaining 4.5 months to the end of the financial year, that you might come reasonably close to last year's performance in this particular division?
I think what we, you know, what we've seen is very strong growth in the agency businesses and the securities businesses, and yeah, on the investment banking side, it's anyone's guess. All we know is that we have a good pipeline, a good stock of assets. We have some initiatives. They may or may not come off. So the big answer is it depends. And you know that business. It's not always there every time you report. But it's not impossible.
But it's not impossible.
No. Ruby, anything else? Okay, they're all waking up now.
No, thank you, I'm happy.
Okay.
No more questions from John.
Thank you, I'm happy.
There are no questions from the conference call.
One more. Here comes a.
Can I ask on the Treasury and Specialized Finance, how much of the incremental lending is linked to private equity now? And do the terms on that lending vary significantly to the existing book of business? Also, can you give us an indication of how much of the private equity lending is linked to you actually making a private equity investment? So whether or not there's a lot of linkage between the investments you're making and the lending book in private equity. Thanks.
No, in the UK, most of our private equity lending is not linked to any kind of investment. It's a portfolio, and we tend to hold a certain balance and securitize the rest into a CLO. In South Africa, there's at this point in time a bit of lending, but not that material linked to existing private equity investments. Clearly, this is going to be a new game for us. As you've seen recently, all the big interest in the large, some of the large retailers and other assets in South Africa that are being bid for by private equity houses. We obviously will, on those very large transactions, play in the senior debt space as opposed to the mezzanine space or the equity space. We tend to, on our own private, when we make a direct private equity investment, we don't really want to be in a consortium. So we tend to go for the mid-size that we can carry on our own. And in that instance, we have some lending, but it would not be big. Be probably less than 2 billion rand at this stage. But we do see a lot of activity coming in the debt markets. And then we also have, obviously, now strong capability to syndicate and lay off.
Yep, hello, it's Chris Smith from Oriel Securities. Just a more general question, Stephen, if you don't mind, just about South Africa, as you see it at the moment and maybe through the second half. from a London perspective, it appears that things could be quite interesting. You've got the RAND strengthening, a lot of foreign investment over the last few weeks piling into the country, and the looks like there's some changes to the black empowerment situation. How do you think that might affect your businesses out there in the second half?
All we know right now is that we are very active. And as you point out, that there is a lot of interest in South African assets from the international community. Clearly, we are one of the institutions on the ground that a lot of these people come and talk to. 2 weeks ago, in 1 week, we had three large private equity houses come and visit our firm to discuss various opportunities and how we could help them and how we could work with them, and they all had significant size and capability. So we are seeing that uptick in activity. And we think that that augurs well for us because we're quite well positioned to play in that game as one of the leading domestic houses. Clearly we're up against the international competition, but we've been up against them since 1994. And we do have some value to add. So we would see the environment as I would guess positive. Interest rates are kicking up a bit. But, you know, we've lived with much higher interest rates. If you look at our slide, in fact, we're back to 2003 levels. And if you go back a couple of years, you'll see that interest rates were miles higher. So there has been a structural shift in interest rates, and you've got strong fiscal discipline. You know, 0.5% budget deficit for a developing economy is nothing, and they're probably going to have a surplus next year, and strong monetary discipline. So, you know, we think that the operating conditions on the economic front are quite good.
Thanks so much.
More questions? Okay, thank you very much.